Case number 09-1090. American Trucking Associations, Inc., et al., petitioners, versus Environmental Protection Agency, et al. Mr. Michaels for the petitioners, Mr. Kaplan for the respondents.
May it please the court, I'm Tony Michaels representing the petitioners, American Trucking and Truckload Carriers Associations. I've reserved 1 minute for rebuttal. At issue in this case is whether there is any limit under Section 209 of the Clean Air Act to the geographic reach of a California emission standard. This is an issue of first impression, and that is because the TRU rule, the California standard that was authorized by EPA below, is unlike any prior California standard. Primarily because of two features. One, it imposes its obligations not on a few engine manufacturers, but on the tens of thousands of owners and operators of existing equipment, 95% of whom are small or solo operators. And second, it expressly targets non-California-based vehicles. The California rule includes a definition of non-California-based vehicles and expressly regulates them. And
only
it does this
they,
through...
Only if they come into California.
That's correct. It's the... It does so by a once-in, always-in approach. One time entering California means that a refrigerated trailer must permanently convert to the California emission standard by either replacing the engine before it goes to California or installing a California retrofit. And as a perhaps predictable result, the rule sweeps in the large majority of the nation's refrigerated trailers within its scope. In its decision below, EPA essentially said concluded that there's no real limit to how far California can reach with its emission standards. That answer is inimical to the Act.
I don't think that's right. It's engines that come into California.
Correct, Your Honor. That,
I mean, you just said there's no real limit. That would suggest California could start regulating trucks in Florida. That's not what the California said, nor what EPA said. It's trucks or engines that come into California.
That's correct, Your Honor. It's probably better to say that EPA concluded there's no limit in the Act. That limit is a limit on California's inherent power as a state. So what EPA concluded was that the Act has no limit, and so that California can adopt this once-in, always-in approach and effectively regulate an unlimited number of the nation's engines and have them all converted to the California standard, and that the Section 209 of the Act...
Isn't that what Congress decided to do?
No, Your Honor, not at all, in fact. In the opt-in provision of Section 209E2B expresses Congress's intent, and it's the core provision of the Act that addresses the interplay between California emission standards and whether they are to apply to engines in other states. And in that provision, Congress made clear, as this Court observed in the Ford case, that for attainment states without clean air problems, Congress determined that the California standard shall not apply in those states. Even if the state wants it to apply, they cannot. And for non-attainment states, other states that have clean air problems, Congress said the federal approach for those engines will apply unless the state affirmatively determines that it's appropriate to apply the California standard to the engines in those states by opting in. That's the opt-in scheme in E2B, and it's our first argument. As this Court has observed in Ford, that it serves a substantive purpose in the Act. And our first argument is that really in EPA's decision, the agency explicitly refused to consider whether the California standard was consistent with Section E2B, the opt-in provision.
The opt-in provision, take a step back. The California decision here does not force any other state to adopt a standard.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that's the government's position. It's their interpretation that they're...
Isn't that true?
Of course, the California can't force another state to do anything. There's no federalism issue.
The other states have a choice whether to opt in or not.
Well, that's only non-attainment states have that choice that Congress assigned to them. And they are assigned this decision to determine if it's appropriate. Congress recognized that it may not be environmentally appropriate to apply a California standard nationwide. And this court recognized in the Ford case, the opt-in provision plays a substantive role in the statute that, and the government would simply bypass that and allow the nationwide application, essentially, of California engines, which is something in the Ford case this court determined would be that it would not interpret the act to allow that, because that would be inimical to the purpose of the act and the opt-in provision. And it is the government's position that interpretation before this court, that the opt-in provision should be read as only preserving other states' ability to go through the formality of adopting the law, and that it's irrelevant whether the engines in those states already effectively have to comply with the California standard because of California's rule. That interpretation was not the basis of the decision below, so it cannot be used to support it. But in any event,
Did you offer an exact theory as to how California's authority should be reconciled with the preservation of the other states' authority?
Your Honor, we haven't attempted to draw a bright line. I think the easy question in this case is whether there must be a limit. And I think the answer is yes. Where the line should be drawn in a given case is the more difficult question. I think certainly one important mile marker this court should provide is to tell EPA and California that there is a limit. And certainly in this case, where the rule impacts 10 times as many engines that are based outside California as it impacts California engines, it's fair to say that it's gone too far. There are other principles in the act that can guide exactly where the line should be drawn in a given case, identified in the briefs.
Such as where would be an appropriate place to draw the line?
Certainly, if the
based in California and every truck that enters California, is there any line?
Well, Your Honor, we think the rule as it's drafted has a pretty good line in it already, because it has a definition for California-based TRUs, which are those regularly assigned to terminals in California, definition for non-California-based.
I was asking between that based in California.
I mean, that could be the line, but certainly also
That's going to really not solve California's problem here, right? California's concerned about pollution in its state, and a lot of that comes from the engines that come into the state that are not based in the state.
Your Honor, it would mean that 75% of the engines could be regulated in this way by California. For the other 25%, California would have to find another way.
Okay, but California wants to solve 100% of the problem, not 75% of the problem.
Correct, Your Honor, but it's the nature of federal preemption to limit the tools available to a state. And California is not the only state with an interest that Congress balanced in Section 209. It balanced, as this court recognized in the EMA decision in footnote 42, Section 209E. In Section 209E, Congress struck a balance among various competing environmental and economic interests. 209E is the provision that includes the authorization criteria and the opt-in provision. It's not our position that California cannot regulate. It's just a matter of at what point has it gone too far and undermined the purpose of the opt-in provision or effectively nullified it. In the EMA case, this court described a similar review that EPA does under consistency with E1 of the statute, where it looks at the practical impacts of a standard to decide whether it's undermining E1. Now, it's a different requirement, but it's a similar exercise as what we think EPA should have done here and did not.
What does California do with respect to new vehicles, which obviously present a quite different problem, but one can certainly imagine California residents seeking to evade onerous California requirements by buying in Nevada and so forth, bringing them in, and it'll probably be illegal for a while under California law to keep them licensed in Nevada, but that doesn't mean that it wouldn't happen. Does California have any measure that it takes to protect itself from that?
It does, and it's important to note that all of the TRUs, any TRU purchased today must be certified to meet a federal emission standard for PM, and that's been the case for the last decade. So it's not that these engines don't have a standard. And for California's new engine standards, they've always been carefully cabined to California by applying at the registration or sale of a vehicle in California. It's been the traditional way of cabining.
For the proposed evasion I've offered, it has no solution?
Well, for the TRU rule itself has a solution.
For
a new vehicle? Well, I mean, the state will have to do what it's always done and enforce the registration requirements for vehicles in the state. And the TRU rule does have a in-state registration requirement that's being enforced today. See, my time has expired.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is David Kaplan of the Department of Justice, and I represent EPA today. With me at council table is Michael Horowitz with the Office of General Counsel, and also Kathleen Keneally with the California Office of Attorney General. She represents the California Air Resources Board. That's the agency that promulgated this rule, and she's here today to answer any questions that you might have of her regarding the rule and its importance to California. Your Honor, I want to move right to this question of whether or not EPA, first off, construed the statute to prohibit consideration of the opt-in provision, and whether or not EPA, in fact, did consider it. And I think it clearly did, on the record, consider.
What do you point to? I mean, in your brief, you pointed to pages 598 to 601,
And that's correct.
I looked, I have to say, in vain.
Well, that is correct, Your Honor. If you look at page 601, for example, there's a discussion first of the opt-in provision, and then there's a conclusion stating on this is on 6 or actually it's on 602, I believe. Nothing in section 209 prevents such regulations. That's a reference to the TRU rule, or limits such regulations.
Where are you in 602?
I believe it's the last sentence, but let me double check.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Next to last.
Yeah, the next to last sentence, the sentence preceding the next to last sentence speaks about the opt-in provision, so that's the topic. And then the agency comes to its conclusion. It says, to the extent that California has authority to regulate TRU engines under its own laws, nothing in Section 209 prevents such regulation or limits such regulation to engines that operate solely or a majority of their time in California. And in the preceding sentences.
Earlier you had said, you used language which seemed to say, and you did not use the word prohibit. You introduced the concept of prohibit in your brief, but essentially your reading on pages 599 and 600 seems to say the application to out-of-state crews is not a factor to be considered, except to the extent that it impacts the three criteria, and then you don't consider it. So you seem to be saying it's irrelevant.
No, Your Honor, you have to understand the progression of the argument. First, this issue was raised primarily below before California as a constitutional claim.
Yeah, I noticed you pointed to that, but in fact you look at the passage in the ATA's presentation, and it seems to be a freestanding one under 209.
Well, they do
say
raise,
primarily doesn't really help us much.
Well, I'm just explaining. And so in the portion I'm citing to in the Joint Appendix, California itself first pointed out that these issues, as they were raised in the Constitution, aren't appropriate for consideration. Then in the next page, EPA says it agrees, and then makes that sentence that you just quoted, that you don't consider these considerations except to the extent that they arise under the three statutory criteria.
Wouldn't the natural thing be to construe, I guess it's A3, to see whether it does bear on the matter?
And then that is the following sentences, or the following pages in 601 and 602, where the agency then discusses that the opt-in provision prevents no bar, talks about how businesses may well choose to operate California compliant truths.
Suppose it's the case that, as a practical economic matter, no trucking firm using this type of vehicle can economically operate unless it, from time to time, once every 5 years, goes into California. Would you say that there was complete compliance with A3?
Well, Your Honor, let me just respond this way. First off, it's not a permanent, once you're in forever. Companies have the ability, it's only when you're operating in California that the requirement attaches. So once the trailer is outside of California, if a company decides that it wants to segregate and send that trailer to another area, but it can certainly change off that equipment.
You're refusing to address my hypothetical.
Hypothetical
was it's economically impossible to operate without, from time to time, entering California. And take you to be saying you, I mean the outcome here can be sustained certainly, if the proper reading of the statute is no problem with that. And are you asserting no problem?
Well,
with that hypothetical.
It is true that
you certainly didn't analyze the data, right?
No, the agency did look at the data.
You looked at it, but you didn't analyze it.
It analyzed it in terms of the way in which the statute required it to analyze it. And it's circumscribed. For example, cost is an issue that the agency needs to look at in terms of can companies meet the obligations. But it's not cost as ATA would have it. It's cost only as it affects the lead time to comply.
If A3 has any bearing on the question of the practical impact on trucking firms primarily operating elsewhere, which is an open question, of course. If it does, then it seems to me you have to look at the data submitted by ATA on that issue, not the overall question of whether trucking companies can survive and comply with the rule.
Well, the way the EPA is supposed to look at it is limited to whether is it not consistent with other provisions. So
right.
EPA is looking at it that way. And EPA did look at this. Is it not consistent with the ability of states to choose to adopt and enforce? And not consistent, okay, it's a very high threshold.
I mean, I guess I thought you'd backed off that in the brief. But so your fundamental position is essentially that so long as the theoretical nominal power of other states to refrain from opting in is preserved, it is of no account that all vehicles everywhere must, in fact, comply.
Well, Your Honor, okay, it may well be that businesses choose to operate California-compliant vehicles in other states, and that may well affect the choices other states make, but their freedom is still there.
It doesn't really affect their choices. Right. It may make their choices completely moot.
No, not at all, Your Honor.
How does it? Stick with my hypo for a minute, if you will. I know you don't like it. If as a practical matter, in order to operate successfully, vehicles must comply with the California rule, then the preserved power of the other states to refrain from opting in to the California rule becomes completely irrelevant, right?
Let me answer that hypothetical in two ways. First off, it doesn't become moot because the power Congress preserved is to adopt as the state's own regulation, to employ its own apparatus and adopt its own regulation and to enforce. A state might choose that it wants to enforce or not want to enforce. Keep in mind also that this is not the federal government mandating.
On my hypothetical, I must say that the state that wants that standard to apply gets a free ride on California enforcement, unless it's the enforcement lobby that were at issue.
Well,
it seems to me that the states that want the California standard are going to be perfectly happy. It's the states that don't want it that have a problem.
And let me suggest this is no different than it is with new vehicles, Your Honor. California has requirements for new vehicles. Manufacturers often, in the past, have said, for reasons of economic efficiency, we're going to just manufacture a California car to be sold throughout the country. That's the Ford case. And in the Ford case, the sole restriction on that type of thing was a scenario in which the California car did not comply with a federal standard. That is not here. But in the Ford case directly applies in that respect because it was understood, yes, economies of scale, businesses may choose to operate California-compliant vehicles or TRUs in other states. But the sole restriction then for that to occur was, well, they can do it as long as they don't violate a federal standard. Here, it's understood. There's no dispute. There'd be no federal standard violated if California-compliant TRUs are operated in other places. Secondly, ATA has not come close to meet its burden to demonstrate the scenario even that they use as a basis
but
for their...
Under your view, there's no proof they could offer, right?
Well, Your Honor, I couldn't say that there's no set of proofs.
It seems to me you have explained why, on my hypo, ATA should lose, right?
Under that hypo, but Your Honor, at the same time, I couldn't say that there's no set of proof or set of circumstances, that there's no limit. This is not a situation.
I think you did.
You just did.
No, Your Honor.
Because my hypo is every true must, as a practical matter.
Let me tell you what I can say with certainty. If the federal government mandates that states have to adopt California's requirements, that would be the Virginia case, and that would violate 177. That's what this court's decided. That's the clear example. This is not a situation where California has said to other states, you must adopt these standards at all. Only if these businesses choose to enter into California, and while they operate in California, if they choose to leave the market, they can change their circumstances.
You're saying there's a difference between the practical impact and the formal legal impact.
Well, that's right, Your Honor. And beyond that, I do rely on the standard of the burden that ATA carries in this case. Because
The agency didn't reach that.
Pardon me?
The agency didn't reach that because it effectively said this argument has no purchase at all under any set of facts. It's true in other areas of the decision. Talked about facts that relate in some measure to this.
We do assume that if their numbers are correct, and we've pointed out that they're not correct because many long-haul companies already swap out their TRUs every 7 years, so they wouldn't have to do any difference under this. It only applies to TRUs that are 7 years or older. It only applies to companies that move into California and operate there. And so we've shown that their facts are not met. They haven't met their burden. But even if they had demonstrated the 75% that they claim, that wouldn't matter. These are independent decisions that flow from the force of the California market. Okay. I see my time is up, but I didn't get to the two last points, if I might beg your indulgence. Another minute?
1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. And that is the only factual claim they make about how other state discretion would somehow be impugned is by saying that compliance with the TRU rule will increase NOx emissions. That's a different pollutant than PM. And that's not the case, Your Honor. First off, that issue has been waived. It wasn't raised during the comment process and wasn't raised in their opening brief. And in fact, California found that the NOx overall would go down. And I'll get you the cite for that. That's at JA-185. The last point I want to make is that the opt-in provision is a simple test. If the only condition Congress imposed in it is if the state has adopted its plan, it doesn't mean that the state has to be in non-attainment. That's a point that they hung on. That's not the requirement. The real requirement is that it have adopted its Part D plan, and that can include states that have maintenance plans, that are in attainment, that have maintenance plans, and so they have completely misconstrued the opt-in provision, and based upon that misconstruction, built these policy arguments that have no role in EPA's analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Kaplan.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Michaels, we'll give you 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just three points I'd like to make in response. First, in terms of the issue of increasing NOx emissions, it's not an issue we believe is a factual issue to prove. That the fact that compliance with the TRU rule could increase other emissions in other states is illustrative of the statutory scheme. Congress understood California would craft the standards substantively to meet California's climate, geography, and pollution problems, and that other states have different issues. And they may not. It may not be appropriate for the California standard to apply in those states, which is why Congress, for states that it allowed to even have the choice, assigned that choice to the other state to decide for itself. Mr. Kaplan indicated that California found that emissions of NOx would go down under this rule. There are some inconsistent statements, actually, in California's documents. EPA didn't make any finding on that. And, in fact, no one can know because it depends entirely on the mix of compliance options that operators choose. And California is ongoing in verifying new retrofits. A retrofit that increases, and this is just one example, NOx by 20% in order to achieve California's goal of reducing PM further, is verifiable, can be verified by CARB, and then used for compliance. And if that turns out to be more convenient to people, that's what they'll use. Second, I wanted to say a couple words about the burden. The government has misconstrued entirely the burden of proof for fact issues. In MEMA, this court made clear the preponderance of the evidence standard is appropriate. And in the decision below, EPA improperly, effectively applied an arbitrary and capricious review and deferred to California on every issue. The statute assigns to EPA to make a consistency finding, to EPA to make the need finding. The only finding on which California is to make is the protectiveness, and that's the only place EPA should apply an arbitrary and capricious review.
Thank you, Mr. Michaels.